This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Can you believe it? Here we are, mid-April, kicking off another week. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney coming up on this show, a conversation with a man who spent decades really figuring out number combinations for lotteries. Francis Isaac joins us from the UK. Let you hear his story. Really fascinating. You have to be a patient person to want to do that. I know somebody that did that with a poker book and just went through all these hands and hands and hands, and it was a book all about that, and swore that, you know, you're not going to win millions and sit there in one sitting, but that there was something to that. Also a conversation with Steve Hamilton. So fascinating to talk about his novel, and fascinating because we had a chance to catch up off the air and, of course, on the air, and during the conversation you will hear that as well. And he wrote a book called A Scandal of the Particular. But he's a prosecutor, and he asked me in the interview about prosecutors, and we know so many more famous, I think, defense attorneys a lot of times than prosecutors, although maybe things have flipped in recent times. So I started thinking about what prosecutors do you know, right? Chris Darden and Marsha Clark, they constantly got airtime, obviously, during the O.J. Simpson trial. Patrick Fitzgerald brought down mob guys, convicted the four terrorist bombings, you know, the terrorists for the U.S. embassies in Africa. And Jerry Nell Kreutz, who was the prosecutor who went after Oscar Pistorius. You might remember him, an Olympic hero in South Africa, murdered his girlfriend, and he said it was just a snowball of lies. And you may have other prosecutors that you would put on your list, and I certainly have others too, but I sent him that because I thought of prosecutors that just popped right in my head. And then coming up also, in case you missed it, Nefarious opened wide this past weekend, and it's one of those horror suspense movies. It's really interesting. Sean Patrick Flannery, the lead actor, joins us to talk about the movie, and he's somebody you will remember from a lot of different movies. He's has had wonderful supporting cast character roles and has made a living certainly in Hollywood. But anyway, he talks about being in Nefarious. Speaking of talking about what everybody really is talking about, and I say that this is what this show is all about. Besides, we did have a horrific weather event, the big flood in Fort Lauderdale. They're still cleaning up, but at least it's dry now at this point, but was incredibly flooded. So many cars, so many neighborhoods, just horrific stories of people escaping these floods, and the houses really destroyed. So it was about people rescuing people and all of that, and that happened. But it was a 1,000-year event, this type of flood. Crazy. So what people are talking about is this 21-year-old, and how did he have the clearance? The Air National Guardsman, Jack Teixeira, who was arrested at his mother's house and then charged with the unauthorized removal and transmission of classified national defense information. I mean, really terrible things are out there, including assessments of the situation in Ukraine, details of China's approval of the provision of lethal aid to Russia in its war in Ukraine, Egypt's secret plans to supply rockets to Russia. So the charges, of course, carry a potential maximum sentence of 15 years in prison. But I think what so many people are talking about is, how did this 21-year-old have this kind of access? And there is an answer to that question. His role was cyber transportation systems journeyman. And so he managed computers and communication system, which is a similar kind of function to doing tech support. He was like a tech support person. To do the job, he had to maintain a top secret clearance since 2021. And he could view smaller categories of highly classified material called sensitive compartmented information. And he had access to a Defense Department computer network called the Joint Worldwide Intelligence Communications System. And that's how he could have read and potentially gotten to the documents, to print the documents, because he had that same level of classification. So, you know, then you think, Pentagon, knock, knock, what's going on? How's this possible? And in that particular position, that's what happens. I mean, it turns out really you've potentially thousands of people with access to all this information. Certainly all the generals do, but more than a million. I mean, it's really a million people have top secret security clearance. You have to fill out this crazy form. It's called an SF-86. It asks all kinds of information, any foreign contacts, places of residence, work history. Sometimes you have to take a polygraph exam. They have to submit to investigative interviews, background checkers, question friends, family members, colleagues to get a better sense of the person. And then, of course, the government runs criminal and financial checks in a process that can take months or maybe even longer than that. What it's supposed to do is show that you're a reliable person, not that you're going to commit this crazy espionage against the federal government. I saw that great quote from Kenneth Gray, who's a retired FBI special agent. And, you know, finding someone reliable and not a security risk is what the key is. So it is about these background checks, and they're supposedly largely effective, if you think about it, in determining whether someone has been approached by foreign agents or governments, but it's not infallible. And obviously, you think about how young he was, 18, 19-year-olds who get these clearances, and the changes in their maturity, their ideology, all of that would come into play, right? And so this was about being big man on campus, sharing information, all these young dudes in this crazy secret little chat world they had. And when I say crazy, it's not crazy. It's that they were going through the pandemic and they were sharing stories and memes and all of that. And then that started to become part of it because, you know, hey, this is not a nothing burger what we're doing here. Guess what? And then, of course, the 17-year-old who didn't think it was a big deal started to put it out on the World Wide Web a little bit more, and that was it. So after Teixeira's arrest, lots of people are being questioned about the process of security and clearances and surrounding any kind of classified documents. You know, the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, issued a statement saying that he was directing the Undersecretary of Defense for intelligence and security to review intelligence access, accountability, control procedures to prevent that kind of incident from happening again. But so much damage caused by this 21-year-old, and you still say to yourself, wow, you know, Edward Snowden had a thumb drive to transfer classified material out of a secure facility. So then that hardware was forbidden. So now, what is it going to be? Is it going to be random inspections of clearance holding people in offices? Are they going to have to do that? I mean, they got to do a big study because this whole Discord group, really, what was released is shocking and damaging. So it wasn't documents that didn't matter. It was documents that mattered, including showing how we're spying on some of our allies, which I'm sure doesn't go over too well. All right, coming up next, the actor I talked about, Sean Patrick Flannery. He joins us. He's in our virtual green room right now, so to speak. That's next.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855 7'9", young. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
All right, time to take you to the movies. So do we have a treat for you. So imagine this big break, a big movie that just opened up and I really wanted to do well. It's a horror thriller film. And the story follows a convicted serial killer who, on the day he's slated for execution, says he's a demon. And he goes through a psychiatric evaluation to determine if he's really mentally fit to receive that sentence. So I had a chance to catch up with the star, Sean Patrick Flannery. Here's that combo. What a pleasure to welcome to the show, Sean Patrick Flannery. I already like him already. Come on. I like his name. Plus, I've seen him on Young and the Restless, The Boys, a ton of different roles that he's played over the years. So he's quite an accomplished actor, and now he plays the lead role in Nefarious. And let me tell you, I saw the previews for it, and I think this movie is going to be a home run. In fact, I'm running out to see it. That's how excited I am about it. And again, we're thrilled to have him on. So, Sean, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about this role and how it came about and what it was like really embracing this, let's face it, kind of a dark character, needless to say.
Well, it came about, I had initially done a film with Chuck and Carrie, the writers and directors, in 2004. And at the culmination of that film, I told them, I loved working with you guys and I would do a Fruit Loops commercial with y'all. Well, a year and a half ago, they called me and they said, Flannery, we got a Fruit Loops commercial. And I said, let's go do it. And they said, whoa, hang on. Let us send you the script. You tell us if you want to do it. I read the script. It is one of the most surgically crafted scripts I've ever read in my life. And I called them back and I said, absolutely, I'm in. And they said, well, which role do you want to play? And I said, well, I'd love to play Nefarious. And they said, thank God. Yes. And we went and we made it. I've never read a script like this that moved me that much, that was that well crafted. It's very rare for me to have an opportunity to do a character like this. I mean, these are the roles that A-list actors get. And I know I've made a career out of doing movies that nobody sees. So the fact that it landed in my lap is kind of, you know, palms up.
So you get it, you love it, you read it, you're ready to roll. How do you prepare for a role like Nefarious?
You know, the wonderful thing about preparation for a wonderful script is the more well-written a script is, the less preparation is required. My preparation was contained between fade in and fade out, and that's not an over-exaggeration. I didn't take any of the character home with me. That character died on the word cut and was created on the word action. And like I said, sometimes you need to go outside to fill in the gaps in a script. This script had no gaps, in my opinion. I simply sat down in a chair and I said the words.
And boy, and what a tribute that is to the script, again, that you read. So tell me about the other actors in it, because it seemed like, and again, this is just basing on what I've seen, that there was some real chemistry there.
Well, I got to tell you, one of my biggest concerns in doing this film, and I told Chuck and Carrie this, I said, who's going to be sitting on the other side of the table? Because, I mean, it's largely a what they call a two-hander. And when they suggested Jordan Belfi, and I did my research on him, you know, they cast him. I would not want to do this film with anyone else on the other side of the table than Jordan. I thought he was magnificent in this role. He was a wonderful dance partner, professional, punctual. He knew everything top to bottom. It was an effortless experience with him. I can't imagine doing it with anybody else.
Yeah. So when you do this, you're excited about it, and here's the big day. What's that like for you? Is there any butterflies? I mean, you're a pro, but this is a huge role, like you said, for you. Are you excited to see how this does?
That's understatement of the year. Am I excited? You know, I've made a career out of doing movies that nobody sees. So, I mean, the fact that this is coming to theaters across the country is kind of crazy. It's neat for me and my wife and my family to see the posters at movie theaters. It's a big deal. Like I said, I hope people enjoy it. I hope people go to see it. And I hope when they do that they enjoy it. This is why you get into the business, movies like this. And I'm honored, and it is a true privilege. And so I look forward to the coming weeks and see if people actually received it.
And doing this where it's like a psychological thriller and your character's in prison, and you said you have to trust Jordan because it's that two-hander and you're going back and forth and there's so much dialogue. And again, you're a pro, but there's a lot of dialogue in this for you, and you're really counting on that relationship. So it had to be gratifying to be able to pull this off, right?
Well, there was a heavy word count. There really was. But, you know, I've never been afraid of heavy lifting. I love a challenge, and this role was a challenge for me. But that's why I packed up my car after college and I drove out to L.A. because I hoped one day in my career I would get a role like this. So I think, I'm not saying I succeeded or I failed, but I certainly had been preparing a long time, you know, for a fastball over home plate, and I swung as hard as I could, and we'll see where the ball lands.
Yeah, since you got in that car and you drove out and decided you were going to do the acting thing, do you feel fortunate in some of the roles that you have gotten and the kind of career you've had? Because you have a big body of work.
Let me tell you, I haven't had to get a real job in 30 years. I mean, it's not lost on me. I've had real jobs. I changed the deep fat fryer at Church's Fried Chicken. I moved pianos for Atlas Van Lines. I literally dug ditches. I put culverts under driveways. The fact that I've been gainfully employed and been able to feed my family and house my family while playing make-believe and pretend on movie sets, it's not lost on me. I mean, I am incredibly blessed. I'm incredibly grateful. And I hope it doesn't stop.
I love it. Great to spend some time with you. Nefarious, it opens wide. Like you said, it's in theaters across the country. We do these movie reviews here on my show. People go and support Sean and support this movie. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
All right, what a great guy. So I want you to hear the trailer for Nefarious. Check it out.
Do you think I'm evil?
Evil isn't a clinical diagnosis. I'd like to ask about why you brought me here today.
Do you believe in demonic possession?
No.
Well, you won't believe anything I'm about to tell you.
And give me something to make me believe you.
Okay. Let me inhabit you.
He got in your head, didn't he?
He claims he's a demon.
He's a master manipulator. By the time he's done with you, you have your head so twisted around you think you're the killer.
Before you leave here today, you will have committed 3 murders.
Why would I do that?
What
are you doing?
My name is Nefariamus. Names are important. They have power. They let everyone know who we are.
Right, are you scared yet? You know, and I think of, and I mentioned that some of the things that he's been in, and he told us how lucky he was, and I really hope this hits the mark, because horror movies, of course, now just the genre in general, are so popular. I've always liked them in thrillers since I was a kid, but I can remember him playing in Boondock Saints, and even the sequel, the Boondock Saints 2, All Saints Day, if you remember. Connor McManus, that's who he was in that. And a lot of people know him from the soap, and I mentioned that to him, you know, Young and the Restless, when we sat down for the conversation. But he was also in that series, The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, and so much more. It has to be exciting, and this is an exciting time for him and for those filmmakers too as well, because they knew they had him in mind. But I love the way they said, hey, read the script, and then he gets back to him, and then boom, there you go. All right, people, go see it. Be safe, be sane, be happy.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Former President Trump appeared in a New York City courtroom Monday as the process of jury selection began for his trial regarding hush money payments.
Nothing like this has ever happened before. Every legal scholar says this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought.
Trump facing allegations of tampering with business records to conceal payments to adult film star Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election. U.S. reaffirming its commitment to Israel's security, President Biden said that during his meeting with the Prime Minister of Iraq at the White House Monday. Biden emphasized that the U.S. and its allies assisted Israel in repelling Iran's recent attack over the weekend. Cities across the U.S. experienced organized protests against Israel Monday. The closure of the southbound lanes of the Golden Gate Bridge resulted in hours of traffic disruption. Protesters also gathered on Wall Street in Manhattan, at the Port of Long Beach in California, and in other locations. John Schaefer, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Excited to introduce you to Steve Hamilton. He's written a book called A Scandal of the Particular. And boy, this is really fascinating, the direction that he takes you in and what his main protagonist is up to. And we're going to let him explain all that to you as he's in our virtual green room right now. Steve, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate, for having me. I've been looking forward to speaking to you for quite a long time now.
What was your motivation to writing this novel?
Well, I've been a criminal lawyer for the last 30-plus years, and I was a prosecutor, and I was involved in the criminal justice system, which I equate with it being like a meat grinder. It grinds up many people, and I wanted to survive that and also share sort of what was going on behind the judicial curtain with my readers. And so that's what prompted me to write the book, A Scandal of the Particular.
So you create a protagonist, Haim Karzan, and Kazan rather, and yeah. you take us in these wild twists that you and I talked about before we jumped on the air. Tell us about him and the situation he finds himself in.
Yeah, my main character is Haim Karzan. He's a senior prosecutor who is been described as a just and a moral man. He's trying to navigate a case involving the killing of a young gay man from Scotland by a judge who cares little for morality or justice. And what makes matters worse is that Kazan's longtime girlfriend is involved with the very same judge. So now, justice, revenge, jealousy, they're all pawns on an unequal chessboard being played out for the reader.
So it had to be fun for you to create him and this book because of your background. I mean, 30 years as a criminal prosecutor, you've probably seen it all backwards and forwards. And it would be really fascinating to sit down and think about, okay, how am I going to write this? What direction am I going in? I think you could probably write 25 novels if you, you know, pulling things apart in the criminal justice system and creating a novel. Was it fun for you to do this?
Yeah, it was enjoyable. I really enjoyed it. And one of the things that I mentioned to you earlier before we went on air was that one of the things that I was not expecting was that I started to get phone calls and lunch invitations to speak with particular judges or lawyers who were concerned about how they were going to be portrayed. And I thought, well, I've been in front of controlling justices before, but now this was kind of strange to me because it's a work of fiction, I would tell them. And they were concerned, you know, make sure I look good, make sure I'm okay. And it caused many of them, I think, and I hope anyway, to examine their own behaviors, how they treated accused people, how they conducted their cases in the public forum, which are the criminal courts.
Yeah. We're speaking with Steve Hamilton here on Author's Corner with me, Kate Delaney, and his book, of course, A Scandal of the Particular. You can go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, even his website, HamiltonSteveBooks.com, to get a copy of it. I think it's one of these books that'll pull you in and take you on a ride and pull you out the other side. We're not going to tell them how it ends, but sometimes tying up the end of a book can be the hardest part, but it can also be the most fascinating. Was it a thrill for you when you got to the end of this and then you kind of birthed this book?
You know, it's like anything. It's interesting that you would ask me that because the book, one of the characters in the book that I didn't expect that became a character was the weather. And at the end, you know, the protagonist is always complaining about the weather. And it's written about the West Coast in Canada, which is very much like Seattle in the U.S. Lots of rain, lots of gray. And there's always this complaining. And then at the end of the book, my last paragraph is something to the effect that it was raining, the weather was fine. It's just layers of the atmosphere dropping down upon us. And we try to navigate the weather like we do everything else, you know.
It's so true. I say it's the common denominator. I like that. So when people read your novel, what do you hope they walk away with? What are your takeaways?
Yeah, there's three takeaways that I try to highlight. And the first one is that as soon as you pick up the phone and call the police or a charge is laid or you start a family proceeding, you're now signing your rights and your freedoms and your sense of morality and how you look at justice over to a third party. And you may not like that third party's interpretation of those things. You might, but you may not. And suddenly it's over to that third party. And the wheels of the criminal justice system start to grind, and that's what starts up. And so just be cognizant of that whenever you do that. The second thing is that... I use the term all suicides are murders. And what I mean by that is that we all have a role to play in the social welfare of others. And, you know, it might be something that we say to someone, might be something that we do, but it does have an effect upon that person. So just to keep that in mind. And the third thing is that I quote Arthur Miller. I'm a big fan of Arthur Miller, you know, the playwright who wrote Death of a Salesman. And he says that all we can hope for sometimes is to have the right regrets. And so I try to get the reader, as in the protagonist, to focus on those things that are important, the things that really matter. So many times that we get, you know, side on a side that we don't really know that something we're focused on that we can't control, like the weather. It's only the weather.
Yeah, that's a great point. Now, I can only imagine you have a couple of other books in the offing that will be coming out in the near future because you seem like you're going to keep writing and writing and writing. So tell us a little bit. Let's give them a sneak peek. Tell us a little bit about those.
Oh, well, there is a book called Solitary Creatures that I hope to have done at the end of this year, and it's an interesting book, I hope. Anyway, it's a book about a fellow who is having an affair with another fellow's wife, and that fellow hires him to follow his wife, who is seeing a third person, because he's jealous about that, and the wife goes missing.
Wow.
So that's called Solitary Creatures. The other book is Appalachia of Forgotten Harvest, and it's about the opiate crisis in West Virginia.
Oh, and there's so much conversation about that. And from your perspective, I mean, is this going to be a work of fiction?
Yeah, both are works of fiction, although they draw upon what many of the things that are happening or had happened involving the opiate crisis that affected West Virginia, and how many, we've forgotten about that whole part of the country and the effect on the people that are there. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to bring that back to sort of the forefront.
Yep. And again, we want to tell people A Scandal of the Particular. You can get it Barnes & Noble, Amazon, HamiltonSteveBooks.com, too, as well. In 30 years as a prosecutor and being on that side of it, and like I said, I'm sure seeing just anything one could possibly imagine and what they probably can't even imagine, the things that you've seen and that you know, do you feel optimistic for the future of the justice system, in Canada? And, of course, you look at the U.S. as well.
Right.
How do you feel about the justice system?
Well, I think there's a misunderstanding, and the misunderstanding is, and I hope my book points it out, it's a flawed system. You say, it's a flawed system. What are you talking about? It's a flawed system because it's operated by flawed individuals. So to expect this perfect outcome every time, I think, is a legal fiction. And so I in terms of other types of justice systems, inquisitorial or the European models or that sort of thing, I think we have the best system, but we have to recognize that it's a flawed system because people are flawed. So that's the how I look upon it. And that's why we have appeals too. Mistakes are made. So I think that's, I hope that answers your question. I'm guardedly optimistic, and maybe what's going to happen tomorrow in New York with your former president will make him in the same boat.
Yeah, it's so interesting, and then it's goes back to what you said of the takeaways, and to realize, and your book pointing that out. Once you jump in, once you make that call, whether it's to the police, whatever, you are in the middle of it. And it's good that you pointed out there's appeals too if you're not happy, because it is a flawed system.
Right. That's yeah. Right. Yeah. The other thing I was going to ask you a question. I'm older than you, so you'll have to forgive the question maybe, but do you know who the prosecutor was that went against Perry Mason?
I do not.
See? Do you know the prosecutor that was just in the Murdaugh trial that was popular?
I know him by face, but I don't know his name. But you're right. And I come from a family of lawyers, so that tells you something.
Yeah.
I definitely know the defense attorneys, and I think that's part of the problem.
The ones that we remember probably are like Marsha Clark.
Yes, right.
We remember them.
Right.
But do we remember them for what the outcome, or do we remember them for what happened to them? So, it's interesting, the question, when you think of it like that.
I think it is an interesting question. And it's a great question to pose to the listeners, too, is do you remember the prosecutor? But I think more to the point is the second part of that, what do you remember them for?
That's key.
Well, get this book. It's fiction. It's the Scandal of the Particular. Steve Hamilton, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. It was a great experience to talk to you, and you lived up to all the billing. Thank you again.
It's a rich man's world.
A
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering next ride.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Book is How to Predict Future Lottery Results, Book 2. Francis Isaac is in our virtual green room in the UK, and Francis did a lot of research on this. And you know I talk about the lottery all the time, and people want to know, what numbers? What about if I play my birthday? What if I play special days? And how does that work? And he really dove into this. So, Francis, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about how you came up with the idea of doing the book. Why'd you do the book in the first place? Why'd you come up with this whole lottery thing?
Right. I did the book because when the lottery was first introduced in 1994, I think it was, in the UK by Camelot, I like most people, I wanted to be lucky. So I played random numbers, and I played £100 worth of random numbers with the lottery. And what happened was that when the lottery was drawn, I didn't win anything. So I said, obviously, this is not the best way to play the game. I really need to use my knowledge of science and maths to try to understand this system to give myself a better chance and other people a better chance as well. So that's how I started. That's how it all started.
Wow, so that's like crazy math and doing the research. What was it like doing the research? How long did that take?
It took a long time. Now, let's put it this way. The actual research started in 1994, and the first book was written in 2013. You can see how long that's taken. Several decades.
Right.
You know, it took a long time. The book itself, writing the book is not really, it doesn't take long to write the book, but it's the actual research that took that length of time to get the result that is worth publishing.
Yeah, and so what's interesting is that's it. It's numbers and numbers and numbers. So tell us how to read your book. If somebody's reading your book, they get your book, they're listening to us, and trust me, there's a lot of lottery players out there, and they're already intrigued. How do they use your book?
Right, okay. So the book is actually based on a month-by-month basis. Okay, so we are in April now, okay? So if you go in my book, if you see April, and it's predicting basically three numbers. Now, April will tell you that in April, I've got A1, because they're basically family of numbers, yeah? They're families. So A1 is a different family to A2. So, but they all come out quite the same, really, very similar. So you can basically pick up April and say, this is April, and I want to play a couple of numbers. How much money do I have? You can say, well, I've got $2, I've got $4. You just pick four lines from there. Once you pick the four lines, you can pick your own three numbers to make it six if you want, or you can pick six numbers from the combination that you got there and just put it into the lottery and see what happens.
Wow. And you yourself have used this. In fact, you told me what happened just the other day.
Well, I use this all the time. The other day, I won £1,000 because what I was looking at was I was looking to play a simple, smaller bet. Not a lot of money, you know. Because with the bet, if I play £1, yeah, I get £10,000. But because of the number of combinations involved I was playing 27 combinations, I think it was. And it was costing me £2.70 because I did the 10p line one. All right? So I did the 10p line one. And I was only doing every Wednesdays and every Saturdays, starting in March. So the combination I was playing actually started in March. By the end of March, which was the last Wednesday of March, four numbers hit because I was playing the four numbers one, and I won £1,000 from that four numbers.
Wow. That's exciting. And it's exciting to play the lottery, but you had an interesting thing that you said to me about playing the lottery. What do you have to be careful of when you get all excited and think, oh, this is the code, I'm just going to crack it open, I'm going to make millions and millions and millions of pounds?
Yeah, the first thing you've got to be careful of is how much money you are going to be putting in. You must play what you can afford. That is very, very important. Because, you see, it's not the winning that matters. It's the amount of money you're putting in up front that matters. And if you cannot afford the amount of money you're going to be playing, don't play it. Make sure you sort out everything, you know, school fees, food, energy bills, all of that has been sorted out. And if you have $2 left, take your chance. Look at the book, go to the month that we are in, pick your numbers from there, and play and see what happens. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah. There's something about playing the lottery, isn't there? I mean, look, in the U.S., whenever the lotteries get high, it's insane how many people will line up. They don't care if they have to drive across the state line, whatever they have to do. There is something about the adrenaline rush of that you've tapped into. Am I right?
Yes, you're absolutely right, because I will tell you what happened. Even I've done the research, but I also get excited because on that Thursday, I didn't even check the numbers. But on the Thursday, I just went up to my computer and said, right, let me log on to the site that I play with. And as soon as I log on the site, I just saw I have £2.50 in there. And it just said £1,002.50. And I found this out at 5 o'clock in the morning. The excitement was unbelievable. Absolutely. It's £1,000, but it's £1,000 I didn't have to start with. Now I've got it extra, you know? It's a fantastic feeling to win.
Right, and you're smart. You get it, because I think your advice to the people listening is sound, that you don't want to take every cent in your bank account. You've got to pay your bills and do all that. But then it's that fun money, because it doesn't hurt anything when you spend it.
That is correct, yeah. You always use your fun money. Always calculate the amount of money that you can afford to play. Don't think, oh, I'm going to make millions, so I'm going to put all the money that go, like your rent money, your food money, and put it in there hoping that you're going to win. But it doesn't work like that. You must sort out everything first. And then if you got $5 left, that's what you use. Because to be honest with you, $5 can win just as much as $100,000 can win. I can assure you that's the way it works. There's nothing wrong in even $3. I've seen some combination that I was working on here. That combination was only one line of six numbers here on its own, and it came out.
Wow.
So if I'd known that before, I could have put in $2, and I would have got the six numbers come out. On its own, the number was, you see. So you don't need thousands and thousands of dollars to play this thing. You only need the lottery. You only need $1, $2, $3, $5 will give you a good chance. Especially with my book, it makes it a lot easier for people to actually be able to win on the lottery.
Right, because you look up your numbers and then you know, and you just go by the month, and that gives you a better idea. And as you said, it was so much research. I mean, decades and decades before the first book came out.
Yes, it was. It took, I mean, 1994, 2013, the first. 2013, I first of all predicted two numbers. I just wanted to show that it is predictable. So the Red Book is based on first predicting the two numbers. Once I've done the two numbers and I see that they're working well, I was able to predict three numbers, and then I've got to four numbers, all right? So when I got to four numbers, I decided that the numbers were getting too big. You know, there are too many combinations in there. So I went back and I had a look at it. Again, I had to think about people who want to play, and then I came out with book five. Now, book five is actually fantastic because it's put the combination into, like, you got 10 lines, I think, for each, like, a syndicate that wants to play. There are 10, I've broken them down into 10 lines of each. And that one, that book is based on number 48 and 49 coming out together. And they do, and they will come out together. When they come out together, that's when you have your best chance of winning.
Ah, so exciting. For you, because it's taken so much research and you're excited about the lottery anyway, and you saw that, hey, it's these number combinations and it gives you a much better chance. Was it pretty exciting to see even the first book come out?
I was very excited to see the first book come out. Yeah, it was really excited because I didn't know how the public would take it. Because don't forget, every author out there, all of the experts will tell you that it is an unpredictable system. And I challenge that. I don't believe that the whole of the system is unpredictable. There are certain elements of unpredictability in the system, but there's also that element that is also predictable if you have the knowledge and the know-how, you know, to be able to exploit this prediction, you know, and that's the best way to do it. You know, yeah, you can say it's a random system, but within that random system, there are some simple pattern of predictability in it that you can exploit for your own financial gain.
Yeah. Well, I think it's smart. It's smart to do that because if you're playing, you want to give yourself an edge anyway. And, of course, yes. Francis, we can get these books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, right?
Yes, yes, you can. You can get it. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. I think eBay has got it as well, so that people sell it on eBay. And it's all over the place. And I think it's beginning to gain ground because a book is only popular. Yeah, if what is written in the book is true, if it's the truth, and people can see the results coming out, the more results people can see coming out with the lottery in any country, the more they have a belief that this system does work, and the more they can buy the book.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, continued success with it. People playing the lottery out there, you need Francis's book. Go and get it. Francis, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Dennis. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.